Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would be with us today. Help us, Lord, to see the day and the hour which we live. And Lord, may we see into such a reality that your word, Lord, is in every place coming to pass. And Lord, now we know, since your word is coming to pass in every aspect of life, then we know that we too are coming to pass. And we are becoming the manifested Son. So, Lord, we just commit ourselves to thee. And we ask you to help us with our study. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I didn't realize I was standing. Okay. Okay, so Jesus said, one of the end time signs is that nation shall rise against nation. Now, in this end time, we see these prophecies coming to pass, and we just see them everywhere. I'm going to show you today not anything new, but a reality of what is there. And I hope I hit it. Just a minute here. Okay. Now, in Matthew 24:3, as he sat upon the Mount of the Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy parousia and of the end of the world? So, the question then that they were asking is, what shall be the sign of thy parousia? In other words, thy presence. And the events which lead up to the end of the world. So we see that although you have one long season of his presence here, began around 33, this presence will also end with the end of the world as we have known it. Peter says it'll pass away in a great noise at the parousia of Christ. Okay, so Jesus gives us the answer in the next few verses. He says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, you know, we could just stop right there and just read on, or even just keep reading on, because, of course, we don't want anybody to deceive us. But what he's saying is the time of his presence will be a great deception. So there's going to be deception coming from every single avenue of life. So we see here that he begins by telling them that it will be a time of great deception. Take heed that no man deceive you. Like the germ warfare upon the people. Most people are deceived by that. They, you know, those that take it, they say, well, it's just, you were just taking. They don't realize what they're taking. You know, they're taking mRNA into the body. Well, you say, so what's mRNA? It means messenger RNA. We have our messenger. They have their messenger. And I'm sorry, but their messenger is making them a transhuman. Our messenger is making us written epistles, okay? Now, I just found out yesterday that there are about 10 links if you look for nanotechnology in dentistry, all right? The Novocaine that you thought was safe is filled with nanotechnology that will react to 5G technology. They had a video of a microbiologist showing self-forming nanotechnology in anesthetic products that are shot into your gums when they do a filling or other dental procedures. And they have put it into sprays for lettuce and all kinds of items. I have a list here, and I wish I could, maybe I can blow this up. Let me just, let me see here. Well, I guess I have go up to the top here. I'm going to try to blow this up. All right, these are different product lines, okay, that have nanotechnology in them. And this is where it's put. It's put in food processing. It's put in food packaging. It's put in anti-caking agents. It's put into nutraceuticals, like sugars and stuff. It's put into improved packaging, activated packaging, gelating agent, nanocapulation, nanocapulates. And I can't read that. So anyway, now I'll bring it back down again so we're in line. All right. So the very first thing that you need to know is that you must be on the lookout for a time when it is very deceiving. Now, you know, we have a lot of products that we buy for our consumption. How many of you people are looking at where it's made? I wouldn't trust anything made in China, all right? In fact, I used to think I wouldn't trust anything made in Mexico, but actually, even though, you know, the guys go out in the field and stuff, it's still better than the sprays that they put on in America. So, you know, just be very, very careful. Pray over it, because we do have a promise from God that if you pray over your food, you know, it'll be good, okay? So the very first thing is that you must be on the lookout for a time when it is very deceiving, and that means everywhere you turn, there will be deception. Deception first, he says, will come in the realm of the religious realm, okay? It says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So that's immediately after he says it'll be a deceiving time. Let no man deceive you. Then he says, now, it's going to come in the religious realm. Many will come and say, I'm Christ, I'm anointed, he said, and shall deceive many. Then that deception goes everywhere. First in religion, then it works into education. You know, Christ is put out of the schools, prayers put out of the schools. Then the government, they can't mention the name of Christ. And then the media, you know, like television, which sounds like tell the vision, and radio, and they both have channels, like witchcraft has channeling, and they have programming, like, you know, people are, well, like in religion, religion has deprogramming, and you have to be programmed before you can be deprogrammed. So anybody coming out of the Catholic Church or out of any denomination should be deprogrammed from that thing. Now, what they should do is say, look, you're hooked up to a certain program. Now, I'm going to deprogram you. I'm going to show you where you're wrong by the Bible, all right? Then you show them by the Bible, and hopefully you're helping to deprogram that person. Now, notice this deception is all nations shall be deceived into hating one another and thus warring with one another. I sent a video out this morning to all the brothers in Africa that we know, because the U.S. is condemning Uganda because they have a new LGBT law. And they're voting on it. And, of course, they'll have very strict rules like the U.S. used to have. You know, we used to have, in 38 states, anti-LGBT language. It wasn't called LGBT. It was called anti-sodomite, because that's what they are. They're not LGBTQRS. I mean, look, I like my BLT, right? But these guys are sodomites, and they're deserving for what's coming. So, anyway, notice this deception is in all nations shall be deceiving into hating one another and thus warring with one another. It will affect education. They kicked them out of the schools in the late 60s, but first kicked the word from the churches, then the schools, then the media, and then politics, and finally the medical establishment. Now, we could take hours and hours on just those topics, but we don't have time. So, he says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things shall come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we see the First World War, the end was not yet. All right? And that led to the Second World War, the end was not yet. All right? And finally, the weaponry will be such as to end in a nuclear war called World War III. For nation shall rise against nation. That is, nations. Okay? In other words, countries will rise against country, but then he has, and kingdom against kingdoms. Now, we can say these kingdoms are smaller nations, but they have a king or a queen involved in making them different from a nation. And then there shall be famines. Notice this ends in the plural S sound. So not just a famine, but in many places. And then pestilence, that's your germ warfare. And those are plagues and pandemics. And then earthquakes in diverse manners, many places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. All in all, Jesus goes on to tell us that there are 50 different signs and events that will take place at the time of his parousia. So we have already gone over this. We've shown you that there are 79 because Paul and Peter and James and John also said they gave about another 20-some or 30-some. 84 in total, 79 are taking place. So today we'll be looking at this seed word that we are looking at at this harvest time of his word. All his word seeds are coming to fruition and are ready for this harvest time of the word seeds forever, or word seeds ever sown. And they go back to, I've got, last week we went over Isaiah 2. Isaiah was written 700 years before Christ, so that's 2,800 years ago. And, you know, it's coming to pass today. So, you know, we see a lot of these things are still happening. Now, for this day, this scripture, Brother Rev said, what does the scripture say about today and about the time that we live in? Jesus speaking, I won't have time to take them all, but I want to take this one before we close. Jesus said in Luke 17, chapter 30, verse, Jesus said, the word is himself. Do you believe that? Jesus Christ, the word himself, made flesh, spoke and said that the word would be in the end time. What would be the sign of the end of the world? He told them nation would rise against nation. But he said it, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is being revealed. So, in other words, you couple together some of these signs that he says. And then you couple it together with the revealing of the Son of Man. And now you're honing in. Because in the days of World War I, we can look at that war, and it's a universal war, and they say, oh, we're in the end time. Well, actually, pretty much in the beginning of the end time, because he came down. So his proof he was there in 33, but the most of the world didn't know it. They still don't know it today. But you take into consideration what he said, nation against nation, that's all we're focusing on today, and then the parousia, okay, the revealing of the Son of Man, and now you've got something right there, all right? That is what the word as it was means. You know, he says, as it was in the days of Sodom, okay? As it was in the days of Lot, down in Sodom, so shall it be. At the time of the revealing or the revelation of the Son of Man is when this condition throughout the world shall be. So, notice, what is the conditions of the, as it was in the days of Lot? Sodomites, okay? He was in Sodom. And everybody but him and his family were Sodomites. Everybody. And the angels, you know, they had a hard time because these men lusted after even them. So, then he gets his family out, but his wife is still stuck on her traditions and creeds, and she looks back to them, and she, you know, we know she crystallized, okay? Then he tells us that this revealing will come through a prophetic ministry, which we see in Malachi 4, 1-6, Luke 17, 30, and Revelation 10, 1-7. This, now, from this day, the scripture is fulfilled. He says, what does the scripture say about today and about the time that we live in? Well, Jesus speaking, I won't have time to take them all, but I want to take this one before we close. Jesus said, Luke 17, the 30th verse, Jesus Christ, the Word himself, do you believe that? Jesus Christ, the Word himself, spoke and said that the world would be at the end time, would be in the sign of the end time, end of the world. He told them nation would rise against nation. He said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is being revealed. So now you've got, on top of nation against nation, you've got a Sodomite condition. You got the U.S., being used by the devil to spread Sodomite condition, LGBT, into all the nations. Many of the presidents, like the Ugandan president, the Zambia president, or Zimbabwe president, the Ghana president, they're all rejecting, saying, who is he to come over here and tell us that, you know, we should open up ourselves to something that our culture won't stand for. You see? So, even though we have blacks in this country, they're not really Africans. They've been too Americanized, and they're just sodomized, okay? But not all blacks, because, you know, there are good people out there too. But the fact is that if they have been Americanized, they are sodomites, okay? Now, he says, I won't have time to take it all, but I want you to take this one before we close. Okay, then he tells us about as it was in the days of Sodom. So then this end time prophet told us that at this end time, Israel would become a nation. Now that's another factor. You see, if I'm going to describe Peter, I'd say he's got a mustache, got glasses on, he's got, you know, his hair's receding a little bit in front, and he's got around his face, and, you know, and so anyway, the more detail I tell you about him, he looks Hispanic. Okay, now the more detail that I give about Peter, then the more, without even seeing him, you get an understanding of what he looks like, okay? Well, that's the same thing as, okay, nation shall rise against nation, and then it gives us 50 other things, all right? So we sort them out, and we see that they've already taken place. Well, then it'll be a Sodomic condition. Yep, we can scratch that one off our bad, our pads, you know, our list, all right? And then he says Israel at this time will become a nation, all right? So that cuts out World War One, World War Two, because Israel was not a nation until after World War Two. All right, so now we're honing down. We're honing down. See, that's how you read the scripture. You're honing down. Now, this is said in a sermon called End Time Sign Seed. Now, let's take his word then. Hebrews 1 said, God in sundry time and in diverse manners spake to the prophets, but in the last days through his Son, Christ Jesus. Now, he said, a God prophet, he was a prophet, sure. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet. But this was more than a prophet. He was God manifest in flesh. Now, this God prophet gives us two or three signs that we want to look at here, great signs that we want to remember. Now, Matthew 24, when it was asking, when shall these things be, what will be the coming, or the parousia, of the end of the world, when will all this take place, he gave so many different things that will take place. Well, how many people know that outside of maybe nation against nation and Israel become a nation, you know, how many people in this message really know the other 48? Because it says it gave us many different things that would take place. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and so forth, and on and on and on. But it said, learn a parable of the fig tree and all the other trees. So now he's adding another one, and he's saying, okay, Israel will be in her homeland. Israel will be a nation, okay? So we're not just looking at one thing here. We want to identify as many scriptural word seed as we possibly can so that we are fully prepared for the resurrection season. We are looking at everything, he said, would come to blossom at the same time. But this morning we're looking at this fact, that nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and you hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, in Amos, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, we see prophecies of Damascus, Syria, and how it is prophesied to be destroyed and its people scattered all over the earth. We are seeing the prophecy fulfilled even as we are speaking. You see pictures up here of Damascus, and the Bible says Damascus. Here, I'll just read it for you. I will break also the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants of the plain of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. Now, you see, here are pictures of Damascus, okay? And then you see pictures here of the, remember 2 years ago, or actually under Obama, I think it started, I can't remember. Anyway, it's been a few years. And the Syrians were scattered all over the earth. They didn't want the war. They had no place to go. You saw their homes were all rubble. So they lined up, and they marched into Germany, and they marched into Poland, they marched into the USA. They marched in a lot of places. Well, Jeremiah 4:29 says, Damascus has waxed feeble and turned herself to flee. That means, you know, they're escaping it. And fear has seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. Now, you see, if the governments of this world saw the scriptures, they would not have opened their doors for them to flee. They would have made a way of peace. But it's our governments that destroyed their land. The wars in Syria, the wars in this place, the wars in that place, everything else. It's, we were warned by Eisenhower. He said, beware of military industrial complex, okay? So, well, where are these wars coming from? I mean, look, the guys who run those companies are making money. They're always busy, you know, because if they're making, they make weapons for us, they make weapons for other countries too. So Isaiah 17:1 says, the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. And you see here, this picture here, of everywhere you look, there's buildings, there's only a few buildings standing, and they have no windows. They're just totally dilapidated. And, you know, again, maybe I'll just blow that up for you. Let me see here if I can get it. You see better? Okay, it looks like a honeycomb for bees. I mean, it's just, this is Damascus. This is totally, it's totally ruined city, okay? So we find the scripture then. It says that, you know, Damascus would be ruined. It says, you know, that the people would flee. They would spread out. They would go out. So the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city. It shall be a ruinous heap. Now, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. It's done, okay? Nahum 3:18, the shepherd slumber, O king of Syria, thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. And so again, we see pictures of men, mostly men, and we see them in this side also. They're just thousands and thousands and thousands, and they've gone into Europe. They've gone into all the countries. Okay? Isaiah 27, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Syria. So that's why, you know, they say, well, you know, these are all Muslims and they're all terrorists and this and that. No, they're not. They're people fleeing their homes. They're a bunch of millennial Arabs, okay? And they have gone into all the world because they're scared to stay and fight. And so, because they have no place to fight for anymore, it's all been demolished. Well, guess what? The U.S. did it, and the NATO countries, okay? Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:3-4. While they are saying peace and safety, all is well and secure, then in a moment, unforeseen destruction will come upon them, suddenly like labor pains on a woman with child. And they will absolutely not escape, for there will be no way to escape judgment of the Lord. But you believers, all you believe in Christ as Savior and acknowledge Him as God's Son, are not in spiritual darkness, nor held by His power, that the day of judgment would overtake you by surprise like a thief. So it overtook them in Syria, but may it not overtake you, okay? In one of his speeches, President Trump said, we need peace, order, and safety. He wanted to conserve the peace and safety of the world and initiated peace accords in the Middle East between Israel and the Palestinians. In another speech, he said, while president, he announced actions to restore safety and peace in U.S. cities, and he ran as the peace and safety president. This day, this scripture has been fulfilled. It's done with. What's next? War. What's next? Not safety. Okay, sudden destruction. The peace plan, which was dubbed the Abraham Accords, as the official title went into effect on September, was an attempt by the Trump administration to finally reach peace and safety once and for all. I think it was September. It was after the election. So it was a proposal by the Trump administration to resolve the Israel-Palestinian conflict. You remember when we studied the tornadoes, how that every president, I mean, we had Clinton, he brought the raghead in, you know, excuse my language, but that's what I call him. He brought the raghead in, Arafat, who got the Nobel Peace Prize as a terrorist. I mean, give me a break. These people are insane, you know. And he brought the terrorist, Arafat, in to divide Israel. And the Bible says, you divide Israel, I'll divide you, all right? So anyway, so then now we have the Trump peace plan, which was dubbed the Abraham Accords, as the official title went into effect September, was an attempt by the Trump administration to finally reach peace and safety once and for all. It was a proposal by the Trump administration to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. President Donald Trump formally unveiled the plan in the White House press conference alongside Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on the 20th of January 2020. The plan had been delayed but finally accepted by Palestinians. The plan was authorized by a team led by Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner. Now, many of the Palestinians didn't like the accord, but you don't hear about what they had to say. The plan was divided into two parts, an economic portion and a political portion. You know, can you imagine if Russia came over here and said, well, you know, we're going to divide the United States. All right, whether you like it or not, we're going to divide it. Well, that's what we're doing to Israel. That's what we did, you know, to the Palestinians. So, anyway, On June 2019, the Trump administration released the economic plan, portion of the plan titled Peace to Prosperity. The political portion was released in late January 2020. The Likud spokesman tweeted that Israel's sovereignty over settlements would be declared on the following Sunday. Even Trump moved our embassy to Jerusalem. So this day, this scripture is fulfilled. All right. Of the seven major visions William Branham had in 1933, all but one are in fulfillment. And the third one will be fulfilled. Due to the rigging of the presidential vote in 2016. Excuse me, I said third, I think it's the sixth one. Okay. The Biden administration has since ignored this peace plan and turned their direction to war in Ukraine against Russia. So, you know, the dust had only settled in January 2020, and all of a sudden, in January of 2021, we're taking another direction, and it's been war ever since in Ukraine. All right? So we're approaching the seventh vision of our prophet. The Biden administration has since ignored this peace plan and turned their direction to war in Ukraine against Russia. So you can see who is the Peace and Safety Administration and who is part the party of war. But in the last days, there has been pockmarks of conflicts from nation to nation, and we have had World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, Middle East War, Desert Storm, Syrian War, Ethiopian, Myanmar, Ukraine War, etc. Now, you say, well, I thought, you know, you said that Trump claimed to be the peace and safety, but yet he bombed Israel. Well, I bombed Syria. Well, truth be known, he gave them, the Russians had men at an airport that was not used anymore, but they had about four or five men there. And so he gave them plenty of, you know, warning, like 45 minutes. He said, get out of there, I'm sending missiles. And so then they just blew up an old airport that was not being used. So, because he was having pressure from the warmongers. You know, our Republicans and our Democrats are nothing but warmongers. You talk to them and, you know, yeah, let's blow them out of oblivion. Well, why don't we say that about you? Why don't we blow you out of oblivion and then see if you like it? No, you won't like it very much. But, you know, they're a bunch of haters, okay? Haters. And there wouldn't be no love in this last hour. So now I have charts, okay? This major chart, can you see the, can you read it? Okay. Major wars, 10,000 or more combat-related deaths in the current or past year. We see in Asia, we have the 1948 internal conflict in Myanmar. We have the Kachin conflict, the Karen conflict, the Rohingya conflict, the conflict in Rakhine State, the Myanmar Civil War, Kalima clashes, Karen, etc. And you know, they don't even put down, you know, you got Asia, you got Myanmar, etc., but they're not even put down the Korean War. I don't know why. But anyway, then in 2014, they jumped 2014. You have the Russian-Ukrainian war outline, and Europe is involved, and Russia is, and Ukraine is involved. But they see that they failed to put the U.S. also. You know, we're involved. And then you have the Ethiopian conflict in 2018. Now, in 2014, let's face it, it was a Russo-Ukrainian war, but really what it was the Russian people of the Donbas were being slaughtered, mercilessly slaughtered by the Nazi party of Kiev. And so this is why Putin became involved with it. This is why he took back, first of all, he took back the Crimea because he wanted war ports. Then he came in, he took over the Donbas region, which I'm going to show you some maps where you will see the difference between how Ukraine, you could divide it into two pieces, the West and East. The West is, of course, they want to be NATO, and the East wants to be Russia. And in their voting, they've said so, okay? So you see, anyway, you know, these conflicts of over 10,000 people. Then you have wars of 1,999, and now look at all of these. You have in 64, the Katumba campaign, in 2021, the Apur clashes, in Ecuadorian security crisis, and the Piman, I don't even know where some of these places are, Piman conflict, and then you have the Afghanistan Pakistani and border skirmish. You have the Islamic State Taliban conflict. You have the Republican insurgents. You know, I didn't see in here, did you see in here, Iraq? They didn't even mention Iraq. How many people were killed in Iraq? You know, I mean, these things are so slanted toward stupidity. But even in their stupidity, they're listing, you know, the Afghanistan, there's 1.4 million people to 2.58. And then they have Somalia, civil conflict. You have half a million to a million. Allied Democratic Forces, insurgents in Africa. What are they doing in Africa? What are the Allied forces doing in Africa? Let them handle their own crisis. My goodness, they can. They got some. You know, they got 40 million people. They can hire, you know, an army. Then you got the communal conflicts in Nigeria. You know, and what's interesting is you see these numbers. All right, fatalities, 1.4 to 2.5. They're listed under the 1,999. Oh, those people don't count. I guess because, you know, in the United States, you give a vote to a black man, he's three-fifths of a person. How is a black man three-fifths of a person? I mean, I can understand them saying that he's a half-wit, you know, not the black man, but, calling him a half-wit was only give him half a vote. But they gave him three-fifths of a vote because they're slaves or when they were emancipated. That's so ridiculous. It just shows, you know, it's just the criminality of the mind of not only the white man, but whoever is running the government, because let's face it, all the kingdoms were shown to Jesus, and he said, I own them all. So he does. So you notice here, Somalia, half a million to a million people, and it's listed under the 1,000 to 999. Good grief. I mean, you know, and where's Iraq? I don't see Iraq at all. Oh, maybe because they don't want to put the U.S. down here. You know. So anyway, so we see all of these, you know, and I don't know how they can have 35,000 people fit into 1,999, you know, it's just or 65,000 people in Ituri. Where's Ituri? It's in Africa. Okay, DR Congo. 65,000 people fit in the 1,199.
Yeah.
But they don't say combat here.
It says
oh, just say that. Oh, in the past year. That's how they're skewing this chart, is in the past year, and yet they're showing the deaths on the right, cumulative deaths. So, you know, okay, then you have, again, you have Iraq conflict, 332,000 to 1.2 million. The Kivu conflict, the Mexican drug war, Sudanese nomadic conflicts, Boko Haram conflict, 368,000, the Syrian civil war, half a million to 610,000, the Nigerian bandit conflict, 14,000, the Mali war, 19,000, the Yemen civil war, 337,000. Okay, now this next chart, minor conflicts, 100 to 999 combat-related deaths in the current or past year. Why don't they give us a chart that shows? Well, they're giving us on the chart, but why do they put that in the header? Because most people only read the headers. All right. So now we're looking at the Kurdish war and the Indo-Pakistani war. There's 58,000 people killed. Pakistani and Indo war, 2 million. The Israeli conflict, 27, insurgents of Bello Christian, 21,000 insurgents in northern India, 40,000. You know, let's look at the Moro conflict in the Philippines. You got 150,000. Communist rebellion in the Philippines, 63,000. Kurdish-Turkish conflict. In other words, the people we tried to actually arm the Kurdish so they could fight the Turkish. Then we have the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict, 49,000 insurgents, and et cetera. The Sinai insurgents, the Central African Republican War, insurgents in northern Chad. You know, well, they had probably more conflicts and more deaths with the great Chad. You know, we had our Chad war here, too. And when George Bush was against Al Gore. They had the Chad War, so that's they had their Chad War, too. All right, then we had the Philippine Drug War, you know, 32,000. Well, what is that? Well, the president said, okay, if you're caught with anything, even an ounce, I mean, you're just dead. And so they kill him. So that's your 32,000 deaths. Okay, insurgents in Cabo Delgado, 6,000, you know, et cetera. So now we have skirmishes and clashes, fewer than 100 combatants, and yet they have 3 million in Korean conflict. Why would they say, well, oh, this year? No, they didn't put this year. Yeah, they put this year. Why would you say skirmishes and clashes, fewer than 100 combat-related deaths in current or past year, and then put the Korean conflict? You know, put that down. You know, my dad was in the Korean War, all right? That was 1950s. That's ended in the 1950s. And they're putting it down as if it happened this year, only 100, you know, killed. In that, you know, good grief. 3 million people died. And then we have the Papua New Guinea. We have 500,000, Katanga, 3,400, Western Sahara, et cetera. You know, so anyway, then Angola, Peru, Senegal, DR Congo again, Lord's Resistance Army. That's where they hacked the people to pieces. That's where actually there's more than 100,000. It says plus. Oh, yeah, so let's just maybe make it 1 million or 2 million people were hacked to pieces, thrown in the river. They caught the bodies in big nets. You couldn't fish out of the Lake Victoria for 3 years, or for 18 months or something like that, or 6 months, I can't remember. Anyway, they had big nets that caught the bodies and the body parts. There's pictures there's videos. Man said, I was trying to escape, and all of a sudden, he said, I couldn't see in front of me, and all of a sudden, I just clump, and I was wondering, is there a bunch of rocks on the road? And I said, I got out, and I looked, and it was all dead corpses. Just dead corpses. I was over there. I saw I saw rooms filled with bones, just like in. I've also been at Poland, in Auschwitz, and I've seen the dentures and stuff there because they took all the gold out of the teeth. And I saw one room filled with eyeglasses and others filled with dentures. And just it's massive inhumanity and. So anyway, these charts they're just to give you an idea that it's just, you know, it's just people hate people. That's all. It's just people hating people. Deaths by countries, you know, we've got, they only show like Afghanistan 35,000, and yet up here, if you look at Afghanistan, it was like millions. So, you know, these charts are skewed by the numbers, but just to give you an idea, if you look at all the countries that are involved, you know, all the deaths, like just in 2022, Ukraine 240,000, Ethiopia 105,000, also add the 20,000 the year before, and Afghanistan, you know, all these numbers. So, Mexico, et cetera. So, anyway, you see the fatalities of these in all these countries. There's like 20 that they just listed. And then this chart is conflict deaths, deadliest countries 2015 to, and you can, you know, if you could read it, I don't think you could read it, but it's a chart that I pulled out. So anyway, I'm going to end it on these notes because it's just a really sad condition that we're living in, just to show you the buildup of what's taking place. And you see it in all these countries. You see nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. You see the fulfillment of Scripture. And you know what? All of these in the charts, let me just go back through them. Just, you see it? These are word seeds. Nation against nation. Word seeds. All of these. Planted in all these nations and all this conflict as a result. So, brother, sister, we are at the end of the end. And tonight we're going to go into the Ukraine war and show you the background of the Ukraine war and show you what's coming out of it. World War III and the U.S. will be destroyed. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. I know that the charts weren't as accurate as it could be, but I couldn't make my own charts. It would just take too long to get all the information. And so, Lord, we're trusting the charts. At least give us a view that every country is affected. And so, Lord, we realize that they just put down maybe 20 or 30 in their charts, but we know that the whole nation is at war. Even in Canada, they war with their own people. And so, Lord, Canada is supposed to be a peaceful nation, but it's not, because they're at war with their own people. Their truck drivers are at war with them. And so, you know, it's just communism everywhere spread, and we see it, and we know that it's actually Romanism that's behind it all. So we just commit our studies unto you, and we ask that you bless them, and just may they kind of click the fuse so that everywhere we look, we see your word. And we don't say, well, this nation is against this nation. No, we see the word says nation against nation, so this nation against this nation is your word seed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.